The seventh session of the governing body of the International Treaty on Plant Genetic Resource for Food and Agriculture, the Global Policy Forum overseeing the international treaty, bring together 144 member nations, plus experts, observer countries, non-governmental organizations, scientists and farmers representatives in Kigali from 30 October to 3 November 2017 to take some important decision to strengthen their pact and to ensure that future generations can enjoy food and agriculture nutrition originating from plants. To elaborate more on this is Kent Nadozi, Secretary of the International Treaty on Plant Genetic Resource for Food and Agriculture. Mr. Nadozi, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Muriel.
First of all, what is the role of the international treaty and what has been achieved so far?
The international treaty was adopted by the FAO conference in recognition of the important role that the plant genetic resources for food and agriculture play in our food systems and the contributions they make to food security. It was adopted in 2001 and came into force in 2004. The treaty facilitates the continuous exchange and free flow of genetic resources. No country is self-sufficient when it comes to genetic resources for food and agriculture. They're all interdependent and they all depend on material from other parts of the world for their food production. The treaty has also facilitated a number of projects in developing countries that supports farmers and breeders in these countries, helps them increase their food production, help them adapt to the changing climate or to adapt to different environmental situations and different needs. The treaty established a multilateral system of access and benefit sharing, which enables countries to use a single standard to access the resources they need for their breeding programs and also to facilitate access for farmers to get planting material. So part of the multilateral system is also the establishment of has a funding mechanism that's called the Benefit Sharing Fund. And it is from this fund that these projects in developing countries are sponsored and supported. So one of the most unique aspects of the international treaty is this multilateral system, which facilitates the continuous exchange and flow of genetic resources across the globe. So far, it has facilitated over 4 million exchanges across the globe, and that's come to an average of about 1,000 per day since its establishment. The international treaty, of course, has been recognized by FAO as one of its top 10 achievements in the past decade because it's, I would say, the flagship of the organization's normative and policy work in, you know, genetic resources governance. And it also is the key instrument for the agricultural sector in response to the issues that arise in terms of access to genetic resources and the use of material for food security.
The theme for this year's session is 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development and the role of plant genetic resources for food and agriculture. Could you elaborate more on this?
Yes, the international treaty contributes directly to achieving some of the goals of the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, particularly when it comes to Development Goal 2 by promoting sustainable agriculture and working to end hunger, as well as Goal 15 by halting the loss of crop biodiversity, because one of the three objectives of the treaty is the conservation of genetic resources. In addition, other activities, programs, projects that are supported under the treaty also contribute towards other goals of the SDGs, SDG 5, for instance, gender equality, SDG 13, combating climate change.
What do you expect will come from this global event?
The governing body of the treaty meets once every 2 years. That's comprising of all the member states, the 144 member states. And in each session, they review the program of the previous biennium and then establish the program and the budget for the next biennium. So one of the key aspects of this particular session, which is quite unique, is that the multilateral system of the treaty will come under review because some negotiations have been going on for the past 4 or 5 years among member states for this review, which includes facilitating the provision of predictable, sufficient funding to support activities under the treaty, as well as the possibility of expanding the crops or the list of crops that the treaty covers so that farmers, breeders, and scientists can have the widest range of material they can use for breeding and to facilitate the breeding of material that adapts to climate change and to increase productivity and for, you know, support livelihoods.
Thank you very much for being with us, Mr. Nadozi.
Thank you so much, Muriel. It was a pleasure.